Welcome to Read Amigas Book Club, where we empower women to accomplish self-care through the knowledge of reading. Here, you will find a community with the vision to inspire women worldwide.
Hi, amigas!
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Good, good. We're coming to the end, which is super exciting. This book is honestly so good. I love her. I love the way she writes because it just feels so natural.
Right. It's almost like she's like there. It's her diary.
Yeah.
Because all her slang words.
Yeah, but it's like you're having a conversation with someone.
With a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really love that because I think, you know, it's called Professional Troublemaker. And I think, I don't know if we touched on it last time, but I really feel that when we think of a professional, right? And this is a struggle that I've had since I started, you know, my professional career, is this belief that we have to be a certain way.
Right.
Right. That we have to, you know, be very proper in our language. We have to dress a very proper way. We mm-hmm. have to. And I feel like you can be professional and still be yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what she's showing me in her book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I think, all those programs that they put in us from childhood, right? Our parents.
Yeah. Not just that, but I think it's, you know, I heard someone say it's really white culture, right? The standard of, and this is what she talks about in this chapter of Get Your Money, right?
Chapter 9.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She says that there are more than 7 billion people on this third rock from the sun. 8 of them hold half the wealth. And all those top 8 billionaires have penises, of course. And she talks about how... how we're all just pawns in this game, right? That white males kind of created.
Yeah.
You know? And that's where we get this stereotype where we have to dress a certain way. You have to wear suits. You have to speak a certain way, right? And it's just something that I've struggled with. And I think I'm obviously coming a long way from when I started my professional career. But, you know, through these books that we've been reading, it's becoming more and more apparent that that is not true.
Yeah. I think lean in and...
Dare to lead.
They both have been very inspiring to change culture at work and in professions, because every profession is different on how you're supposed to be.
Right. I think each book taught us, and they all said the same thing, that you gotta ask for more.
Mm-hmm.
Always ask for more. Whether the position's telling you $20 an hour, you best believe come and say, I want $25. Right. And then I feel like working in the corporate world, like they do, like if you are a candidate and they had already said yes to you, they will negotiate with you.
Yeah. And it was interesting because, you know, she talks about that too, how like culturally and as women, right, we're mm-hmm. kind of used to just taking whatever they give us.
Right.
Not
asking.
Yeah, she kind of breaks it down to how much men and women make compared to each other. And this is one of the big battles right now. If you guys know, the women's soccer team in the U.S., mm-hmm. They win way more than the men.
And they're never...
They make like a quarter of what
they make. And they're never really like...
Publicized,
yeah. It's never a big thing.
Well, right now they are because they just took their federation to court. They're suing them because they're like, we win more games. They actually did the math and they actually make more money for the organization than the
wow.
men.
Wow.
And they just like, it's crazy.
That's
right.
Sad.
So, Latinas make 54 cents for every dollar that Chad brings.
I love that.
Native American women make 58 cents for every dollar Trent gets. Black women get 62 cents for every dollar Brock takes home, and Asian women 90 cents for every dollar Logan secures. And it's really sad, right? And it's really interesting too how she talks about how we should all be talking about how much we make.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a taboo.
Yeah.
HR makes you believe that you're not supposed to share it. Right?
Yeah.
But this is why you're not supposed to share it, because you and Chad could be doing the exact same job.
And then you get
mad. And he makes a dollar.
Say something.
And you make 58 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Chad asked for more money.
Yeah. And also because, well, originally men get paid more than women.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she's arguing women need to ask for more because the money is there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Even when you work for a nonprofit, like nonprofits have a set budget, right? Which means they're not waiting for the money. The money was given to them a year in advance.
So they're able to afford it.
And my last job, she was like, so how much do you want to get paid? And I gave my number and she was like, oh, okay. And I was like
nothing.
I should have known.
Could have asked for more.
That's sad because then you know that's not the type of work for you because they don't see your value to pay you what they should be paying you. Instead, they're just like, you asked for it. And
but that's what she talks about too. She says anywhere in the world, if that's what you're willing to make, they're obviously going to take you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And she says that HR, that she's talked to different HRs and they've told her if they negotiate, we're willing to do it. It's just so many people don't. So many people leave money on the table.
Yeah.
But then it's also companies that have such high turnarounds with employees because they're not taking care of them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But we have to voice it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really good. Everything she talks about in chapter 9, right? She says that you're worth your job, right? Because anything that's fast and cheap, they probably aren't good. If they're good and cheap, they aren't fast. And if they're fast and good, they're not going to be cheap. So it's like, we can't be cheap.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I like how she says on page 157... She goes, in the words of a professional troublemaker, bitch better have my money. Own it. It's true, though. You work hard. You deserve it.
And honestly, like, that's, I think, one thing that I've always admired of you, right? Like, I always tell people, well, yeah, Nathie doesn't have, like, certain things, but she's been able to climb so many ladders within her organization.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, and you always take new jobs. You always have your resume on point. Mm-hmm. You're always looking for that new opportunity. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. And I feel like bringing that up, looking past these 10 years in the medical field, like, I always felt confident in what I asked for as far as pay rate. I knew, like, on to the next one, you better get $5. And then, yeah, every single one of them would negotiate with me, but I would always get more. So I got comfortable. So the more you step out of that comfort zone and you recognize, like, I work hard, I know my shit, I do deserve this. And that's kind of something that I've been doing and it's been working. So it's true when she says, you know, bitch better have my money, because if you know your ish, you're worth it.
Mm-hmm. You bring it to the table.
Mm-hmm. And that's really cool. So because you should have kept out supposedly like a long time ago, right? But you just kept moving from place to place within the medical field,
which is so sad, right? That they put a cap on your abilities on a position in any workplace, I feel like. So then that's when I feel like people just spread their wings and they fly, right? Like they go on to other organizations or they seek for growth for other learning positions. Because it's like, how sad, like you do hit a cap. And that's kind of where it all started, where I'm like, okay, I'm on my cap. I'm not going to stay here. Like, I'm not going to be content
with this. This isn't the end.
Yeah, there's a lot more that I could do and bring on. So, yeah, I don't, this corporate world sometimes, I swear, it limits people to what they can be.
Yeah. And then on chapter 10, I saw me and Nadie there.
Draw your lines.
We fear not being considered nice. This was awakening call for both of us on I Am Diosa book. So this was a really good chapter. I really enjoyed it. I highlighted a lot. And we'll start off with page 162. We must create and vocalize our boundaries, no matter how much it might be jarring to others. I think we always try to think of others before, it even anything with us. And that's important because we should be coming first. We should be not, sticking to what the promises that we make for ourselves and not letting ourselves down first. And that's something I think that we always try to be so helpful that we don't help ourselves first.
Yeah, I feel like in this chapter, she came off a little too strong, but maybe it hit me off as a little too strong because it hit home, right? Yeah. We're like, but I feel like I do set my boundaries good, probably not well enough. But I did feel like the social media part, that kind of was like, what do you mean I can't tag you, like
yeah, honestly, we need to apologize because we tag her on everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my sister Steph, like, you know, she is the queen of boundaries, and people might think she's a bitch, but she never signs up for anything that she isn't 100% willing to do, mm-hmm. right? And she doesn't allow anyone to sign her up for anything or, you know, overstep their boundaries. So she does say she's a Capricorn, and we're all about the signs. Yeah. And I, you know, I feel like I've always admired Capricorn women because they're so strong mm-hmm. and they're so driven and motivated, you know?
Yeah, they do come off very strong, very dominant. Mm-hmm. And it totally fits her because at the beginning I'm like, who hurt you? Like, why? Like, I just feel like I'm a very soft vibe, very mellow. Yeah. And yeah.
But to them, they feel like, no, this is empowering. And like, it's somebody's huevos.
And it's like, funny because, care. Like, she talks about Nicki Minaj. And I remember hearing an interview of Nicki Minaj mm-hmm. where, you know, she the said, she's like, when I defend myself and I ask for what I need and what I really deserve, mm-hmm. I'm called a bitch. But when the guys do it, they're a boss.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. She's like, well, then fuck it. I'll be a bitch.
Yeah.
You know? And she does talk
because
about
her. Because to her, it ain't that.
She says that. She says that Nicki Minaj one time got really angry because she got to a set and they had like...
They didn't have her
setup.
Her setup. Yeah.
And she was like, but if you tolerate it, now you're teaching people how to treat you.
Right. Next mm-hmm. time they'll do the same thing. They won't give her what she had asked for.
Yeah. And she does talk about, right? Was it in that chapter? What chapter was it?
Yeah, it was. I just read it right now. 167, I believe.
Yeah. And it was, where does she talk about? She talks about how she was going to do a speaking engagement and they were paying the men, but they didn't want to pay her.
Oh, ese no me acuerdo.
Yeah, that one was good because she called them out online. Mm-hmm. And then the guy wrote a whole article on her saying she wasn't worth the pay. Oh, and she was like, oh, so I wasn't imagining that they were paying people. You just told me I was right.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but I did. It was right here. I can't find it. But it was that the stuff that Nicki Minaj had asked for wasn't there. It was just a jar of pickles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So 184. Yeah. Oh, wait. Chapter 11.
Mm-hmm. We fear change. Mm-hmm. Grow wildly.
I feel like we're all pretty good about change.
We have all started it this past year.
I feel like, I mean, I adapt. That's just, I think I've been through so much shit in life where I have to. I've mm-hmm. had no other choice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the disabled community, we say you either adapt or you're done, right? Adaptability is what. And I always say we adapt to the world because the world doesn't adapt to us.
Right.
So mm-hmm. that's why true. I feel that change does come really easy to me. But she says it in a good way. She says it is our duty to constantly look to be better than we were. And you know what it is? Growth. Growth is an obligation. And we got to give ourselves permission to grow wildly. Like my cuticles after a month of neglect. And she's right. A lot of times when people hear the word change, they're thinking of a negative thing.
Yeah.
And she talks about how when your friends say, oh, you changed. I love changed. That part. Like, yes, yeah. I have. Why haven't you?
Yeah, right? Like thank you. Yes. I have. I've been working on it really hard, you know? Yeah. And the ones that understand will say, you changed and I'm proud of you or I'm happy to see where you're going. But the ones that don't understand will just see it as a change, as a negative thing. And like, they're not on your level.
Yeah. And she says, once you know you gotta get doper and better, now comes the part where the ground you stand on will be shaken up. And I think it's really interesting because when the three of us grow, right, mm-hmm. we kind of get some of the backlash. And instead of getting mad, we're like, good for you. Good for you. Now tone it down.
Yeah. Just I like a what little she bit. Says on, what is this, page 190. It says at the bottom, you may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can mm-hmm. decide not to be reduced by them. Change sometimes shocks us into learning maturity, resilience, and discernment. These are all the things we need, but sometimes the reason we're afraid to change is because we're scared of what other people will say.
Mm-hmm. That was my highlight.
Okay, so I underlined that. But the biggest thing that got me, and it was funny because I was reading this to one of my friends. I was like, well, you're here, so I'm going to read to you. And we were both, because we're both social workers, and we, you know, we both work as, you know, our job is to help people change, mm-hmm. right? That's what we do. We're agents of change. That's what you call social workers. And what got us was... you may not control all the events that happen. So everyone hears that. And then the next part is usually, but you can control the response
right.
to mm-hmm. the things that happen, right? But when it said, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. Yeah. That's
don't
the
go
part.
Down to that level.
Like both of us were like, oh shit, like it's that's true. Like don't let it break you, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. Don't make it... Don't let the situation you just went through make you less than what you are. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
because it's not only control, but also feeling reduced by it, right?
Yeah, because a lot of people will crumble in that feeling, right?
Right.
Change happens, you know, your life is shooken and you fall apart and you feel that just because you went through all that, you're less than what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both like, damn. Oh, don't let it reduce you. Don't let it reduce you, you know?
No. That's awesome. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. That one really got us. And then she gets into her grandma. You know, she goes through her story, which was pretty like, she's been through a lot.
Her grandma's a tough woman.
Yeah. And to go through against social norms within her community, right?
Right.
She's living in a rancho. They're going to marry her. And she's like, peace, I'm out.
And with her little brother, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
seriously. And it was just like the next town. She said, I think like 2 hours or something. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy to think that she's just like the next town over, but starts a whole new life there. And that's where she meets her husband and everything. And it's so cool that just 2 hours away, it was a different mindset with the man over there that she met, that she was able to really have somebody that understands her mm-hmm. and is enforcing her, because she says it was normal for the men just to control women and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So yes, give yourself permission to grow widely, transform and change your opinions, change your surroundings. That one was a good, because that means like your friends, whoever you need to, going back to boundaries, mm-hmm. set your boundaries, mm-hmm. change your environment, change the people, because you need to grow widely.
Yeah. And one thing that she says in 198, it can be good to be in your comfort zone, but sometimes your comfort zone insulates us and keeps us from doing what we're actually supposed to be doing. So being in your comfort zone can actually like suffocate you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
it's like, don't be there too long.
Yeah, definitely. So then we get into chapter 12, Fire Yourself. And I have to say that this is my problem, which you ladies know I'm still working on. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
You are aware. Yeah,
this is a start. This is my chapter because I recently blew up.
Being aware starts there.
Yeah. So this part that I highlighted, as I've mentioned, my kryptonite is feeling like I am not in charge of a situation and that outcomes could depend on someone else's whims. It makes me uneasy. And that's true. Like it's that controlling part of me. And like I told you guys, I take on more without even being asked.
Right. That's where like it was a little awakening that you're like, it's not hard for me to say no because you guys are not asking me. I'm just volunteering. So yeah. I don't even have to say no. Like I myself, I'm already saying I'll do it.
Yeah. Like I have to have that control. And it's like, no, like you have to trust that the people around you can take some of that load.
Right.
Right. And you know, it was again, I was having this conversation with one of my friends. And when she talks about her grandma becoming like immobile, I'm like, well, I totally know that situation, mm-hmm. right? And so I think when you lose full control of your body and you have to rely on people physically, then you want to make sure you can control everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, right. I'm like, I understand physically I can't do certain things, so I can delegate.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that's not physical, I'm like, well, then I'll do it all.
Yes. That is so interesting.
And I thought I had a controlling issue, my friend.
You were.
Yeah, but I think the delegating part is huge. And even for us as a group, I feel like this hit home, right? Because we just had talked about this. Yes. We went through something. And it's true, though. Like, tanto como she needs to learn to delegate, we need to take the initiative and, you know, feel like we might not probably be like, I'll do it, because for myself, coming for me, if I'm going to say yes to something, I'm going to do it 100. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, we just launched our website. We just launched our merch. It's huge for us.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of it, because you have your own business and you did all that. You're like, I'll do it. And then we sat back and we had a conversation like, okay, you know, why didn't this person take this? And we could have figured it out, but one, this person already
has experience.
She controlled it. It has experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would have taken on it because I'd figure it out. So that's why, like, got to let other people know that you got to forgive, retrain, and fire. Like, it's going to happen. And I feel like we need to remember that. Like, either way, if we don't do it good, they'll forgive us. They'll refrain us. They'll fire us. But we'll still be there. Rita Migas will still be here.
We will be here.
And, you know, you're right. Like she says on page 216, it says, but there can no longer just be me. I need to sleep more. The sleep when I die mantra is not cute. No, I need to sleep now. So I need to learn. Yes, I need to learn to let go a little, be more vulnerable. You know, it brings us back to vulnerability. Yes. And really, if there's anything we've learned, is that vulnerability is courage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, this is a group team effort here. So we're here for you, amiga. Yes.
Even though we know you got it and we know you could do it all, you got to be able to be like,
but I don't need to.
Right, yeah, you don't need
be
to.
Be vulnerable.
And show us, teach us. We want to learn.
All right. I'm
going to
get better at it.
Yes, it's what does it say at the end? 216. It is time. Build your team. Find your helpers. Get some more sleep.
Yeah.
And we know how you feel about your sleep.
Jesus. And you know what's funny is that I've told you guys. You know, like we talk about like my network, and it's
the I'm helpers,
blessed with the most amazing human
your
beings.
Helpers,
you know,
come
to find your helpers. And it's so funny because even my helpers, you know, like my friends, like they'll be like, "What do you need me to do? I'm here. I got you." You know, and I'm just like, just give you a little bit more control, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. 13, take no shit.
We fear ruffling feathers. That's for sure. That one's...
This one didn't apply to me much because I don't give a fuck.
I'm working on that. I sometimes don't like to ruffle feathers and just like, you know what, pick my battles. But sometimes I don't realize that that battle is worth it. For myself, so so I do need to go into battle.
Well, you know what, so she goes into some really good stuff about you know, being a standby and just, you know, letting the world crumble. And you know, I've always said that anger is honestly, it gets a bad rep.
Right.
If people didn't get angry, we wouldn't have ended slavery. If people didn't get angry, we wouldn't have ended segregation. If people wouldn't have gotten angry, every time someone gets angry, change happens. Right? So she says, putting harmony over justice and civility over amends is harmful practice. If we are telling people to constantly bypass defending themselves or standing against what they awry. And that's a big thing, because a lot of times people are like, oh, I don't want to piss people off. But it's like, what injustices are you allowing to happen so that you don't bother people?
Yeah.
I feel like this chapter stood out to me because she was like talking to me about nice and kind. And she talks about how they're two different things and how I think that we are often wasting our time trying to be nice. And I consider me a very nice person. But when she explained how being nice and being kind is very different, I kind of like took back a moment. And I'm like, well, which am I? And I'm like, I think I'm both. And then she says, well, if people are saying, oh, that girl is nice, then you're probably, you know, something's missing, because you don't want people going around saying that girl's nice. Did you guys?
Well, for me, okay, so I've always said I don't like nice people.
Excuse you?
I like good people, right? I'm not the nicest person. Right?
You're not, right.
But I've never met someone that would say she's not a good person.
Okay.
Right? I, you guys know, like, it can be someone on the street. It could be, you will see me having a conversation. You'll see me figure out how to find resources. I'm a social worker, right? My only job in life is to help people. And I have the biggest heart on earth. But ask me if I'm a nice person. No, I'm really not. And I don't.
She's not nice, but she's a good person.
Yeah. So she says there's a thin line between being nice and enabling bullshit. And that's true.
That is very true.
You know, when people are like, well, this, this, and this, and I'm like, that's bullshit. And let me explain to you why, you know, and I don't let it slide. And I, but I'm a good person. I don't do it in a way where the person is.
Right. You're doing it as to help them. And hopefully they understand that you're doing it out of your kind heart. Somewhere in there.
I get away with a lot. I know. I've heard people tell me, you say some things that I would not let anyone get away with. You're the only person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So page 224, she says, we spend so much time telling people to be nice and civil that we feel like we have no room to defend ourselves in a world that's a constant war with us. I'm like, yeah, so true.
It is really true. And right now I think I'm battling that with my kids because they're actually being little bullies to a little kid in their daycare. And I'm like, you have to be nice and be kind. Like, do you always, anything you do to somebody, you have to think about it just for 3 seconds really quick. Would I like that if they did it to me? You need to think about that. Would you like it in return? No. Okay, then don't do that. That's not nice.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that. Story, because it just happened today. I picked up my daughter from school, and I was like, how was your day? And she's got this little BFF friend, and she goes, Mom, you know, her friend, celebrinca, like, jumps onto her through the back, like, piggyback rides. Mm-hmm. And she's like, but she hurts me. And I said, okay, can you tell her to stop? She goes, but I want to be nice. That's my friend. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, you say nicely, you know, best friend or hey, friend. You know, can you not do that? I'm like, there's always a nice way of saying things. And, you know, I told her you were over. And I'm like, Vero's over the house. So, you know, if I don't like something that Vero does, I'm going to tell her nicely. And she's going to be like, okay, because she cares what I say. Mm-hmm. And she gave me an example. She goes, like, if she breaks the camera. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to tell her, don't break the camera because that hurts my feelings. And, it's, you know, so it's like setting boundaries and it's understanding other people's perspective.
Yeah. I mean, they also can't walk over her as a friend.
Yeah.
Right. So in a way.
And that's a big thing. That does happen a lot. Yeah. You know,
they don't want to hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
Although they're hurting their own.
Yeah. And she talks about it like we're here to worry about being nice and we don't want to hurt people's feelings. Be kind. You don't have to be nice.
Yeah. All right. 14 obviously really hit home, I think, because I'm very happy about my squad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Even when she breaks down like the multiple groups.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was good because I felt like if you know me, you know, I have like 50 groups of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have so many different groups as well.
Yeah. So humans are not meant to do life alone. Yes. Even the most introverted and crotchety of us are not meant to be recluses, living life away from everyone with no one to turn to. And she's actually right. So we actually learn and grow through relationships where our brains actually will actually start having like memory issues. They'll start having different mental health issues if we're not socializing enough. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I really like that. I mean, this whole chapter was really good.
It was a good one. I enjoyed it because the whole time I'm like smiling. Yes, I have friends.
Right? You're like a checklist.
I got this one.
I have friends.
Yeah, I honestly did little notes of like what group of friends were each one. I was like, oh, I love it.
Well, you know, honestly, again, that this is why one of the reasons we started Read Amigas.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right? When we were reading Rachel Hollister to hear that chapter, she says how so many women don't have a friend group.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And us, we're like, we are so close. We got each other's backs. And, you know,
I like that. Like our friendship, like, kind of fills all of them.
All of them.
Yes.
But at the same time, we each also have
other people.
Groups.
Yeah.
That fill it.
But this part really, I was like, this is Read Amigas. 232. Bold women rock with other bold women because we create space for each other and affirm identities. Society is usually so quick to denounce. We normalize each other's bravado, which allows us to step into the world with confidence. And I'm like, that's exactly why we started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Wanting to create that space for other women because we had it in our own friend group.
Right. And we see how much it benefits us and that it's like, every woman needs this.
Yes.
Yes. And I mean, I think now a lot of people are more open to saying, you know, be careful who you surround yourself with. You are who you surround yourself with. And it, to page 232, it says, the people we are surrounded by really do affirm our lives and our decisions. Mm-hmm. They can peer pressure us into being and doing better because seeing them up close can inspire us to know what's possible. And I feel like we started off as being group one, the day ones, because we can pull each other's old pictures mm-hmm. of back in the days
yes. Yes.
and laugh about it. But we really nailed it to be, what is it, the true blues.
We're definitely the true blues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like a little bit of everything, you know, we do have the playground
group. We are definitely play.
Yeah, yes. And the Rita Amigas is definitely
we fill every number.
Crew.
Yeah. Yeah. We really support each other's professional development.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the thing of not being, what is it? You are who you surround yourself with. Younger me didn't believe that. I was like, no, mom. Like, she still does whatever she wants. Like, that doesn't mean it's me. Y que sí, la gente que va a pensar. And I'm just like, mom, no, that's not true. But now, as an adult, I'm just like, yeah, I don't want to surround myself with that. Like, it's only going to bring me down or their drama or whatever it is. But it's setting boundaries. Even if I have somebody, you know, in different groups that I don't align, it's just like, okay, it ends there.
And she talks about that too. Like, she's like, you know what? You're not going to share with one group what you would with the other.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then her chapter 15, get a Nigerian friend. We fear the savagery. I actually have a Nigerian friend and she's amazing. Mm-hmm. She's the most confident, most outgoing, most amazing woman I know.
I don't have a Nigerian friend.
You don't?
I don't have one. But I kind of feel like from this chapter, no sé si quiera una. I mean, she talks about how in their culture, they clown on each other a lot. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, us Latinas, like my mom, you know, ay, no seas pendeja or whatever.
Se
like,
llevan.
Mm-hmm. You know, but it was our parents. But our parents taught us not to do it to others. So I, at least, never grew up, you know, clowning with people.
But I think, okay, so then ask yourself, is it because I don't believe that joking around is okay? Or is it when people joke around, it hurts my feelings?
I feel like because it's more of the feeling part because yeah. my parents did it and they didn't do it to make me feel bad. But it's just the way we grew up.
So as a therapist.
Oh, here comes the therapist side.
Oh, so you need to work on that.
No, but I feel like it's rude because now even more as I dive deep into it, it's like, you don't know. I feel like that some people could really be more even affected by it. And I've seen people where you start clowning and they take it to a whole aggressive, mean vibe.
But that's the thing. So is the thing is, and this is what I tell people, yes, you set your boundaries, right? There is a difference between joking and being disrespectful, right? But I do, like, I mean my family were like really big on clowning on each other. I have a lot of friends that way too. I think that when it gets bad is when they're touching at your insecurities. But is it their fault that you're insecure?
But sometimes they say, right, that whatever people, how people act is a reflection of them. So how do you know they're pointing at your insecurities and they're just not reflecting their own insecurities?
Because there's a difference between projection, right? And in that moment, me feeling insecure, right? This is what I tell people. You get offended when you believe what they're telling you. So if that's what you believe about yourself.
Right.
Yeah. And at that case, I always say, that's probably an area where you need to work on.
Yeah, I never surrounded myself with friends that clowned in high school.
I think I've pushed your buttons. Where I've said
a couple days ago.
Yeah. So to us, we're just joking, but we're pushing at your insecurities, right? And it's like, well, you're getting mad at me, but it's not my fault you're insecure about that. Maybe you should work on the fact that you're insecure.
Pero también no hay donde que se pasan unos. Like,
yeah, it's just like think you're of right. others. You just pushed my buttons. Vettel did where it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I knew like I was doing it where I was like, okay, I'll stop.
But that's but the I thing. Like, I think we do that for you sometimes.
Yeah, like just we don't know, come.
But it's not, I'm not like that. But it's not. But it's not because I feel that I'm in the wrong.
Right.
I do it because I know that that's something you're insecure about and you need to work on.
Right. So because why? Like, where does so that's what I'm saying. Like, so she comes off being a person that you can clown with and clown on because mm-hmm. they did it in their childhood all this time. And the way she explains it, like, they're really insulting. Like, you know, when her,
the she jokes, says some, yeah.
Her jokes are in her language. But like, I'm like, that is mean. Like, my mama just, all she did was just, you know, no se pendeja. And that's pretty much it. And never even went farther than that.
But that's so. But. I don't know. Like I said, right? Like, unless you believe que eres una pendeja, it won't affect you.
No, that's what I'm saying. But I didn't grow up around it, even in school. So to me, it's like, that's mean. So I don't do it. And I didn't grow up around it like she did in her childhood. Mm-hmm. Again, that's as far as it went with my parents. And it was never like that I felt like that. I always felt like I wasn't.
Yeah, and that was the thing, right? Like, I think it's also part of growth. Right, where it's like if you hang out with these people and they say certain things and it really stabs you, to ask yourself like, hey, I wonder why that got under my skin so bad, like what's going on, right? Asking yourself that question, because I know for a long time, like if people called me controlling, I'd get mad, and now I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking controlling for sure. But for
you don't think it could just be like nothing to do with it having a trigger or anything? It's just you're not used to anybody messing with you like that, joking like that. Like,
I think it depends. I think, and this is what I tell people, ask yourself, right? Why did that hit me so hard? And as you're digging within yourself, you come to the conclusion of, you know, that was disrespectful, then that was disrespectful, right?
But I feel like some things aren't even disrespectful. I just don't. Those are not my vibes, you know? I just don't vibe with people. Like, is that where you're going to do your energy and like just down talk somebody?
Mejor
diles que se ven bonitos. I mean, we do. We clown amongst us, but I feel like it's never like, doesn't go past two comments, pretty much. Yeah.
I don't know. I think because I'm so...
You have that thick skin because of your household, just like she
and
does.
And not just that. Like, I feel like I'm a really confident person.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to throw a dig that's actually going to hurt me, it's like, damn, what is that? Like, where is that coming from? You know, and believe me, like I do have the one place where I do set boundaries is politics, because I love watching politics and I love all about it. So a lot of men specifically will come at me. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And but there I do say, you know what? You constantly say, don't take it personally, but I do. I do take this very personally, and that's where you overstepped, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not because I feel insecure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for a really long time, if people were like, you're so fucking extra, that bothered me, you know? And that was my insecurity. But if I wouldn't have acknowledged it, then I would have never grown from it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Interesting.
So what are you trying to say? I need to hang out with the... tough people.
So I think you need to reflect, because even sometimes when I see certain things, I'm like, dude, that was like not even offensive, like not even hurtful, it was a joke. But you just
So it's pretty funny. I like how she says, like, you don't have a Nigerian friend, where can you go? Go to a library.
Oh yeah.
Go where Afrobeats is being played. Declare allegiance to Nigerian jollof. Yeah,
LA. Yeah, they have the best food. They have like their culture.
I think I might know one driver. I'm not too sure, but he has a very strong accent, and I really think he could be. But he is the kindest soul.
They
ever.
Are. They're the kindest people. Like, I'm telling you, my friend, like, if she sees someone disrespecting someone, you want her on your corner.
Because
that chick will knock you down. Like, oh, you went too far. Like, she is, you know, but yeah, she's like, I've hung out with her and her family and stuff, and they clown a lot. Yeah. And they're so much fun.
It's cool.
And then chapter 16, fuck fear, which is something that we've talked about a lot in like all our books, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like the staple to this whole book, what it's all about.
Yeah, fear. Go out there.
Fear is a hater. Fear will have you sitting down when you should be standing up. It's what holds us back.
I underlined the next sentence. Fear will have you not saying that thing that is necessary when you need to. Fear will talk you out of your purpose. It's that okay. One, I was like,
okay. It's okay, Vero. We go, Vero. Maybe you should say something now. We got you. We got you, Vero.
And then what you just said earlier, Jess, was it being human, to be afraid is to be human. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yeah, it's like natural, you know, being afraid or having fear. It's natural. It's normal. Mm-hmm. And it's just how we go about it.
Yeah. And she talks about it in the beginning too, right? Do it afraid. Mm-hmm. She's not telling you to stop being afraid. She's just telling you to do it anyways.
Do it afraid.
And yeah. Once you push past those scary moments, it says that I started seeing my life move forward. And that is so true. Like, sometimes we are stuck somewhere, we're not happy, and it's because we're not leaning in towards those fears that are going to get us to the new chapters in our lives that we're waiting for, but yet we're holding off ourselves back, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that we've all seen it in our own lives, right? Mm-hmm. Starting college, starting your own business. Me and Nadie have done that. And it's just, it really is a fearful thing to do. You know, when mm-hmm. I decided to go full time on my private practice and quit my stable, comfortable 9-to-5, mm-hmm. you know, hell yeah, that was fearful, but I had to do it anyways, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I always feel like it's a fear. So the way I think about it, like, just to summarize the chapter, is do it. If you feel the fear, that's a sign. Just do it. Get out of your comfort zone. And you know, I'm all about growth. And I feel like when I feel fear and I recognize it, that's a sign for me now to act on it and to grow, because I know there'll be growth from anything that comes from fear. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, again, amazing book. Exciting new stuff coming for Read Amigas. If you guys haven't read the book, we really suggest that you do. Mm-hmm. We now have a website. Like Vettel said, we're selling merchandise, the essentials that we all need when reading and for self-care. Yes. So check out readamigas.com. It's really exciting.
Check it out.
Great new things coming. We want to do more podcasts related to self-care because we noticed that a lot of people would really like to hear more about that.
Mm-hmm. We have the end of the book brunch, and we have tickets also to be sold there online that you could purchase them so you could join us. And hopefully you do. We love seeing our previous amigas come back, but we also love seeing new ones and, you know, just get together. Self-care.
Yes. And of course, as always, start thinking about a new book.
Yes.
Because we end one, but the excitement of starting a new one, at least I always
do, like a romance one or something.
Oh my God. Those have been, they've told us we don't do those.
And I've never done one, so I want to dive into that.
But all right. Well,
share, like, comment.
Yes. Subscribe.
Subscribe.
All of the above.
Thank you, amigas.
Bye, amigas.
Bye.